Parshas Pinchas begins with the reward that Pinchas gets for his great act of killing the Nasi, the prince of Shimon, doing this despicable act in front of Klal Yisrael. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, turned back my wrath for upon the children of Israel, when he zealously avenged me among them, so I did not consume the children of Israel in my vengeance. Therefore, say, behold, I give him my covenant of peace, Risi Shalom, and it shall be for him and his offspring after him a covenant of eternal priesthood, because he took vengeance for his God, and he atoned for the children of Israel. And the question that we have in the source 3, Drash David, many of the first he asked, is Pinchas is given Risi Shalom at first glance, vengeance and peace seem to be opposing attributes. The covenant of peace would be more fitting for Pinchas' paternal grandfather, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, whom the Mishnah calls a lover of peace and pursuer of peace. But how can we consider peace to be the appropriate remuneration for Pinchas' display of vengeance, even if that vengeance was on Hashem's behalf? The question we need to ask ourselves is, how do we characterize this Risi Shalom? Hashem usually works mida keneged mida, measure for measure. In what way is Pinchas deserving of this Risi Shalom? As well as to try to understand, what is this Risi Shalom? How does it manifest itself? And what's the practical application of getting the covenant of peace? So, just right off the bat, before we look at our two levels of Eretz Hashem, Source 2 and Source 4, the Ibn Ezra, Tivat Torah quotes as well, is that when a person doesn't act like this, there's very big likelihood that people want to take vengeance on him, and that he'll be Sadui Alabrios, people will hate him. How dare you do something like this? Particularly the people of Shimon's tribe. Therefore, Risi Shalom is like a seal of protection. No one's going to harm you. No one's going to do anything to you. I am giving you the promise that you are going to be protected by me. This is a covenant of peace. And that's Pshuto Shemikra. It fits in very nicely, and contextually fits in very nicely. I'd like to try to take a look at two levels of understanding this Risi Shalom. And the first level, which we'll begin with, we'll look at three aspects, and we'll look at it from the Maharalian approach of relationship between God, relationship between others, and relationship with oneself. Three aspects of what this Risi Shalom is, all on the first level. On the second level, we'll take a look at a whole different approach to the Targum Yonasan, and then look at that on three different levels. So we'll begin with Rav Rivlin in source number 5, where he speaks about Ulam Efshar Shebrita Shalom Mahave Ishur Leherek Shel Pinchas. It's almost like a stamp of approval of what Pinchas did by Hashem giving him a Bris Shalom. V'hi Me'ita U'mochicha Shemaseh Shel Pinchas Haya B'tochno Pnimi Maseh Shel Shalom. That really, intrinsically, inherently, what Pinchas did was an act of peace. As Rav Pinchas, that sound source number 6, echoes, he says, "By Shir Yadua Lana Shekadosh Baruch Hu Sones Ima." We know that Hashem hates immorality in Cain. Therefore, Kasher Nichshelu Bnei Yisrael Bivnot Midyan, when Klal Yisrael fell into the sin with the daughters of Midyan, at that moment, Kivyachol, there was a great anger in by Kadosh Baruch Hu for his beloved people. And Shevet Shimon was almost going to be wiped out. So therefore, when Pinchas did this act, Sharei Ayidei Kinato, Asa Shalom, he did peace. Vehechzira Da'ava Vekirvat Halei Ben Yisrael Ovim Shashamayim Kimikotem. So why does he get a Risi Shalom? It's Mida Keneged Mida. He reinstated the inherent love that Hashem had for Klal Yisrael. He reinstated the state of Shalom, of peace, between Hashem and the Jewish people, and therefore it's only right and worthy that he should get this Risi Shalom, this covenant of peace. Rav Shurbach points out in Source 7, the conventional picture of the zealot is that of a wild person, cruel by nature, who persecutes anyone with views that did not take his fancy, or persecutes others merely as an act of personal vengeance disguised as some holy endeavor. The Torah zealot, by contrast, should have no personal score to settle with anybody. In fact, he should have no personal interest whatsoever in the outcome of his actions. He should not be a fighter by nature. And when he does fight, it should be in order to increase peace in the world, just like Pinchas did. Pinchas risked his life in order to prevent a desecration of divine name. He was overflowing with love for his fellow Jews, and his seemingly cruel act of killing resulted in divine mercy and atonement for the whole nations. Since he made peace between Hashem and his holy nation, he was rewarded with a covenant of peace. The mashal that Reb Chaim Brisker brings, which we can, many of us can appreciate on a personal level, is the way a housekeeper and a cat look at mice, right? Both of them want to get rid of the mice. The housekeeper wants to get rid of the mice because she doesn't want mice. The cat wants to get rid of the mice because he wants it for dinner or lunch or whatever meals they have. So they both want to get rid of them, but one wants to get rid of it and wishes it never was there. The other is happy that it's there. Many zealots are like happy that they have, you know, their fuel to fan their flames, so to speak. While a zealot like Pinchas wish it never happened. I wish this situation never was. I have to respond to it in a zealous type of way, but halavai, like the housekeeper, I don't have mice in my house and I don't have to deal with it. Pinchas restored true peace between Jewish people and Hashem, and therefore he gets his reward. We often hear criticism, notes from my friend in source number 9, of great rabbis who take stands on various issues. Why do they have to make machlokas, people complain? Why do they have to start up? Why can't they leave well enough alone? Is this peace? And the answer is yes, sometimes by starting up, sometimes by doing acts which seem to be zealous type of acts, they're really not causing more of divisiveness, they're really causing peace, shalom. So by giving Pinchas this brisi shalom, it's making a statement that not always when we do acts like this, which seem to be such destructive acts, are they really destructive. They can be very constructive. And again, it's, you know, a very fine line, and one has to know, and one has to be at a level to appreciate what is correct behavior in what situation. But we have to understand that we look at peace as, you know, everyone lives happily ever after. That's just a nice ideal. However, at times, peace has to be attained through challenge, through growth, through these acts of Pinchas. What's fascinating is, if we just take this first level, right, between man and God, that Pinchas restored peace between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, one step deeper, we understand in depth what Shalom is really about. In source number 10, the verse says that Pinchas merited God's bris shalom, his covenant of shalom. What exactly does this mean? What constitutes his covenant of shalom? Shlemus amitis, true perfection, says Rav Alpert Zal, is when one has mastery over oneself to the extent that he consistently makes decisions intelligently unswayed by emotional impulse. This does not mean, however, that one should disregard his feelings, but he should strike a balance while not being impulsive. And indeed, we know there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Vayamod Pinchas vayipala." The Pinchas stood and he davened. He davened that Shevet Shimon should not be destroyed. So at the very moment that Pinchas is doing this act, which seemingly is an act of cruelty, at that very moment, he's davening for the rest of the tribe to be saved. So you see here that Pinchas has the ultimate shalom. He's not acting. Oftentimes when we get angry and we're really, you know, get riled up, we can't think straight and we're off balance. The brisi shalom is teaching us, Hashem kivyachol is saying, you deserve a brisi shalom because you are bishleimus. You are in a state of real balance and perfection. You are able to have two very different emotions, to killing the nasi, the prince, and davening for the rest of the tribe at the same time. Therefore, it's clear that your act is coming from a very well-thought-out act, and we shouldn't look at it as, you know, like Lahavdil, you know, some crazy man who's acting in this type of way. Brisi shalom, you have ultimate shalom, you have ultimate shlemos, and that was a stamp of approval that Hashem was giving to Pinchas. The second aspect of what this brisi shalom is about relations between people, benotam l'chaveira. I'd like to look at a very, very beautiful essay of Drash David. And his insight here is something, there's an idea here that I think we can really take away with for life. He speaks about our sages say, source 12, shalom is great, for even celestial beings require shalom, osa shalom bimromav. Now we can draw a kavachomer if in the heavens where there's neither jealousy nor hatred, there's a need for shalom, how much more is shalom needed to take place on earth, where those negative characteristics exist? This midrash begs the question, if strife does not exist among the higher beings, if they're free of jealousy, hatred, and war, why do they need peace? The question is rooted in our understanding of shalom as peace, which is the consequence of the removal of strife. In a place where strife does not exist, there's no need to remove strife, and it should follow there's no need to create peace. peace. In truth, however, shalom has a life of its own. It's not simply the absence of strife for the Mishnah Gul Shalom of Vessel. Shalom exists in its own right. Shalom has a power in its own right. What is the power of shalom, of shleimus? So if we move to the arrows in Source 14, the essence of shalom is the balance of all the forces and faculties a person possesses. Very similar to what we saw Rav Alper, being able to have everything working in tandem. Every one of them must intermesh with each other. They must enhance one another, thus bringing all the forces into harmony and perfection. Indeed, the word shalom is akin to shalem, meaning perfect or complete. For only when there is shalom between a person's internal elemental forces can that person advance on the road to perfection. So with this we can explain, my friends, the following. Every force, every power, every natural law can fulfill its role in creation only when it remains in its prescribed borders. Even beneficial forces, such as blessing, are effective only within appropriate boundaries of time and space. The purpose of shalom is to unite in the bracket in 14 all, to unite and perfect all the elements and forces in man and creation. Shalom reigns in all forces, even those forces on which life depends, preventing them from bursting out of their assigned borders, and thus trespassing its territory that belongs to a different force. So when we say, Oseh shalom b'mramav, that Hashem makes shalom, peace, in heaven, it means that the sky does what it needs to do, the sun does what it needs to do, the clouds do what it needs to do. Everything functions in its proper realm, right? If the sun would burst out of its, narthik, out of its place, we would all burn. The whole earth would burn, right? Everything has to be in perfect balance. And he says, this perhaps is pshat, in a pasuk that we say every day in the halukas after Ashrei. Rabosa, I want us to walk away with this line and to really think about it. We say, Hasam Gvulech Shalom, which literally means, Hashem makes borders at the peace. Hasam Gvulech, Hashem makes Gvulech, the borders, Shalom, that there's peace at the borders. On this way, we're understanding shalom. There's an entirely different interpretation. And my friends, it's so fundamental, and it's so true for life. You want to know what shalom is? It's hasam gvulech. When a person puts boundaries and borders in life, when a person is able to say, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate, this is where I can be, this is where I cannot be. When a person knows their boundaries and the border, then you can have peace. When do we have so many problems, whether it's shalom bias or other issues at work or in other social issues, is when people don't know the appropriate boundaries, and they cross the boundaries, and then there becomes tension, and then there becomes challenge. Hasam gvulech shalom. Boundaries, borders, is what is crucial. And that, my friends, now we can appreciate the covenant of shalom that Hashem gave Pinchas, end of 15, is thus a fitting reward for his act of zealous vengeance for Hashem's sake. Through his zealousness, Pinchas successfully sealed the breach that the Moabites had opened in the walls surrounding Hashem's vineyard, the house of God. Pinchas reestablished clear and strong borders to separate Yisrael from the immorality of other nations. Erecting strong walls along those borders is not a contradiction to shalom. To the contrary, it brings the concept of shalom to its perfect state of completeness. Therefore, Pinchas was rewarded specifically with shalom, which was most appropriate as a reward for his act. What's the greatness of Pinchas? It's not just the act of killing Zimri and Cosby. The greatness of the act was making a clear line and demarcation. Immorality does not enter into the Jewish realm, into the Jewish tents. We have to make a distinction between the Jewish morality and the world around us. What Pinchas did was he closed up the breaches that were found in the walls of Klal Yisrael at that time. So since Pinchas made those boundaries and those walls so clearly established between the Jews and the world around them, he therefore gets Brisi Shalom, the covenant of peace. You are somebody who is going to abound with boundaries. And hence he becomes the Kunas Olam. Kohanim are very, very good at knowing what boundaries are. We're allowed to enter into this place, we're not allowed to enter into that place. The Kohanim are the teachers of Klal Yisrael, and that's their job, to teach a Jew. This is what you're allowed to do, this is not what you're not allowed to do. Really, all of Yiddishkeit is being able to know the boundaries. This is what I'm allowed to say, this is what I'm not allowed to say. This is what I'm allowed to see, this is what I'm not allowed to see. The Bris Shalom is connected to the Bris Kunas Olam, which is basically what the Kohanim represent in their personification of peace. They are the people of boundary, right? Min HaMikdash Lo Yitzeh, the Kohen Gadol not allowed to leave the base of Mikdash, they're not allowed to enter into cemeteries, etc. They are also the ones who are going to teach the boundaries to Klal Yisrael. The Drashtavi just takes this one step further in a very fascinating insight. I'd just like to add, he says, the concept of shalom as the proper balance of diverse forces casts new light on a passage in the Gemara. When Shlomo HaMelech enacted the laws of Eruvim, which are Eruv Chatzeros and Nisil Sedayim, a heavenly voice rang out and proclaimed, "My son, if your heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice." Hashem was very happy that he established Eruv Chatzeros. What's Eruv Chatzeros? So, very, very briefly. We know that there are certain areas we're allowed to carry, we're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, right? And there are different domains. There's Rishus HaRabim, the public area, Rishus HaYachi, the private area where you're allowed to carry, and the Karmel Lis, which is an in-between area. And again, those are the laws of Eruv, putting up some type of wall, some type of string to enclose an area. So, before Shlomo HaMelech came around, people, and if you come into Eretz Yisrael, you see this a lot, people would live around a chatzer, a courtyard. So before Shlomo HaMelech came around, the courtyard was an area you would be allowed to carry in because it was one enclosed area. Shlomo HaMelech came along and said, no, you're only allowed to carry in the chatzer and go from one house to another in this courtyard area if you make an Erev Chatzeros, which is that everyone in the building comes together and purchases a piece of bread, matzah, and it's a combined ownership, one person holds it, and then you'll be able to carry, right? People do this today in certain type of apartment buildings where people live. In order to carry from apartment to another, you need to make some type of Eruv Chatzeros. So, at first glance, let's go back into Source 17. Before its enactment, people were allowed to carry items from their homes into the courtyards, and from there into their neighbors' homes, or into adjoining courtyards, and the homes in them. This made for peaceful social relations, friendly visits, and joint celebrations of joyous occasions. With the institution of Eruv Chatzeros, carrying items in an area where there's no Eruv becomes prohibited. Objects could no longer be transported from one private domain to another. For example, people could no longer bring a platter of cake or fruit to their homebound neighbors. The concept of shalom assigns spheres of activity to every creature in the world. When neighbors, whether close or distant, are able to pick up their bags and enter into each other's courtyards and home whenever they wish to do so, they're paving a road that leads to strife. For what was intended as a friendly visit can easily turn into invasion of privacy. This is why Shlomo HaMelech instituted the laws of Eruv Chatzeros. His purpose was to demarcate private property, to set boundary lines between neighbors, not to keep them apart, but to keep them from intruding and within their own sphere of influence. And establishing such boundaries is the function and effect of shalom. My friends, sometimes, what do they say, large fences make good neighbors, whatever the expression is, you need to have the boundaries to create friendship. That was the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech. Certainly, the end of 19, the entirety of Am Yisrael's unified hold requires and depends on shalom. Every individual is different from all others. Each individual is a unique and diverse set of elemental forces and traits. When all the people of Israel merge their potentials in ever knowing his place and his limits, with none trying to dominate or trespass in another sphere, then shalom is among them. And then you're able to actualize your full potential. And that is the great vessel that Hashem found, of Hashem Yivarech et Amo v'Shalom. My friends, we know this to be so true. When everyone knows what job they have to do, then everyone's going to be able to function well, right? You ever have people trying to put together a simcha or a breakfast or any event, and no one knows exactly what they're doing. So this one says, I'm doing the table. And everyone's stepping on each other's toes. You're assigned this, and you're assigned that. That everyone knows what they're doing. And in Klai Yisrael, the way the Klai Yisrael works, it's not like, you know, people have this vision. We should live in a world of peace. And everyone gets along together. You almost feel like hands across America, Lahavdil, right? Where we're all standing together, holding hands, and we're in a state of peace. Peace is not when we're all alike. Peace is when we're all different, and we can appreciate the differences, and can we respect the differences, and we know where the lines are, and we know how not to cross the lines, and to respect those lines. That's at Brisi Shalom. So my friends, the first level between man and God is he restored peace between Hashem and Klal Yisrael at Brisi Shalom. On the second level, he was able to fix the breaches and make that demarcation between the Jewish people and the nations around him. Brisi Shalom, you are the master of borders. You are the master of knowing people's place. Hasam Gvulach Shalom, one of the greatest brachos we could have. Third idea is between man and himself. Rabbi Pliskin quotes the Netziv of Elushin, source 20. The Netziv commented, Pinchas did a zealous act that could cause someone to become aggressive even when it would not be appropriate. Therefore, the Almighty blessed him with a covenant and peace. In all areas of his life, he should be a man of peace. So it's a bracha to Pinchas himself that he should have within him the quality of peace. Rabbi Pliskin then adds, our usual state should be one of peace. There are times when it's proper, even necessary, to be aggressive. But since this trait is so destructive, one must be very careful that it does not become part of one's nature. We become molded by our behavior. If we keep acting a certain way, it becomes part of our usual personality. There's a danger that a trait which is frequently negative and sometimes positive, depending on the circumstances, will be used negatively as it becomes part of our character. To prevent this from happening with the trait of aggression, someone who has to be aggressive on occasion should go out of his way to be extremely kind and compassionate in other instances. And this is the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, where my friend quotes in source number 21. On the Chumash telling us, after the people kill people in Ir Nidach, an entire city, where the majority of the residents serve Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, Hashem will give you mercy and be merciful to you. Why do we need to have that? Because after you kill an entire city, it can affect you. And therefore the promise is that you will maintain that ability to be a merciful people. My friend says, I don't often quote Golda Meir, but the following statement of hers is memorable. I can forgive the Arabs for killing Jews, but I cannot forgive them from turning our sons into killers. And that's really the challenge that we all have. And hence, the Megid Yosef from Saratskin in 23 says, this is not a schar mida kemegid mida, el yesh kan matara, its purpose was the takenet have saved masav, shenasu l'shem shemayim. He did it for the sake of heaven, but let it not affect who Pinchas is. And according to this, this is why he then gets the Brisi Kunas Olam, the bris of being a Kohen. And the Kohen is one who is always Shalom Verodev Shalom. It's as if making a statement. I'm going to infuse you with peace, that you are going to be the quintessential Kohen, that you're going to be able to maintain the standard of peace. And this aspect did not get to you. It's interesting, as we'll talk about momentarily with God's help, the Sfarim say that Pinchas became Eliyahu HaNavi. And we know, and this is Rav Matzal Katz, the late Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, Pinchas Eliyahu's outstanding characteristic was zealousness. In his early years as Pinchas, his zealotry led him to avenge Hashem's honor. Centuries later, as the prophet Eliyahu, his zealotry once again led him to do something positive, wipe out the idol evil prophets of the Baal. But zealotry is like radiation. Radiation can accomplish amazing things. It can wipe out cancerous growth. But it's also dangerous. If radiation is overused, it can be fatal. As long as Eliyahu's zealotry was focused on wiping out evil, it was a positive trait. But as soon as zealotry broke through its clearly defined borders and resulted in criticizing Jewish people too sharply, Eliyahu was chastised immediately. The Medrash tells us that Eliyahu Navi is present at every bris milah. Eliyahu's zealousness led him to say that Klal Yisrael have forsaken Hashem's bris, so he must appear at every circumcision to witness that we still uphold the bris of Hashem. Hashem promised Pinchas a covenant of peace, and this is that he should be able to use this in the correct way, in a way of peace. I'll just here a very interesting, beautiful story that I just heard this week, that we know that Eliyahu Navi comes to every bris. Eliyahu Navi comes with this bris shalom, this covenant of peace. And in fact, they say that the Sandek, the one who holds the baby at the bris, has Eliyahu HaNavi to accompany him throughout the entire day. So someone just told us the story this week of a certain Rebbe who happened to be a Sandek at three brises the same day, which isn't unusual for Rebbes. And right after he was a Sandek of the third bris, he was asked to visit somebody who was in a coma in the hospital. And he went to visit them, and they had like almost given up on this person. And shortly after he visited him, the person came to and, lived happily ever after, so to speak. And they said to this Rebbe, "Wow, you must be a miracle worker." He said, "It wasn't me." He said, "It was the schus of Eliyahu HaNavi. I had three brises this morning. Eliyahu HaNavi was with me with intensity. It was the schus of Eliyahu HaNavi that woke up this particular person," which is just something to keep in mind for all of us, that if we know people who are sandiks at brises, that they have that koch of Eliyahu HaNavi, and to make sure to get brachas from them. I remember that I've done that with my kids when close friends are making a bris. So I'll take them over to the Suda afterwards, and I'll ask the father of the child to give them a bracha, the tzaddik, usually the grandfather, to give a bracha, that, you tap into it. This is a koch of bracha. If you have the koch of Eliyahu HaNavi, this is something that you want to... the Koach of Kahuna, this is something you want to tap into. So my friends, we've seen now Ben Adam LaHashem, Brisi Shalom, he restored peace. Ben Adam LaChavero, he brought in the boundaries. Ben Adam LaAtzmo, the Brisi Shalom, is that he will always be a person of peace. And the negative act that he did, killing is a very, grueling, dramatic act, he will be, it will not affect his personality, and he will maintain that standard of shalom, that standard of peace, brisi shalom, kunas olam, and the Kohanim will always have this quality of peace and pursuing peace. Okay, that, my friends, is all level one. Now let's take a look at level two and look at different aspects on level two of what this is. And I'd like to use as our focus in level two a Targum Yonasan. Let's take a look at source 28, the Otsos Satara quotes. Mefarish a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Shekharish Baruch Hu Yivtiach lePinchas sheyafech lemalach. The bracha is to Pinchas that he will turn into a malach, into an angel. V'yichyeh lo'olam, he'll live forever. Kedei sheyuchal, that he will be able, levaser lo gula b'achris hayamim, that he will be able to be the one who's going to tell the Jewish people in the future of the coming of the Mashiach. So the obvious question is, well, how do you get that he's going to live forever from this? He's giving him a covenant of peace. Where from there do you get that he's going to live forever? And what is this promise that he is going to be the one who's going to be Mevaser, the Geula, the one who's going to, what's the connection, and be one for telling the future? So I'd like to try to understand why Brisi Shalom is being a malach living forever, three levels. Level one is this forno. Let's take a look. Torah Tzvi, Rasutsi, Kushalevsky, source 27. Notes this forno. Shalom, 27, away from the angel of death. As it is written, he makes peace in his heights. For deterioration is caused by the friction of opposites. As a result of this blessing, Pinchas merited a tremendously long life. Notes of Torah 3 the following. The Sforno is touching on the depth of Hashem's reward to Pinchas here. A person has various drives, strength, and qualities. All are necessary and all contribute to overall functionality. But only if they work in tandem. If one of these is excessively expressed and another excessively suppressed, this can have a detrimental effect on a person. Shalom means the harnessing of all of one's inner qualities and strengths. This is what this forno means in its comparison to Hashem making shalom and the higher worlds. Hashem maintains a perfect equilibrium and order such that each emissary malach and quality can express itself without infringing on another. The covenant of shalom endowed Pinchas with remarkable longevity because the balancing of his inner parts and qualities resulted in robust health. And as the Otsar Satara notes at the end, in source number 4, that the idea that there are many different, quoting Rav Yosef Engel, there are many different qualities in a person, right? The 4 most basic one are Esh, fire, Afar, earth, Ruach, wind, and Mayim, water. And the problem is that it doesn't work in balance, and that's why people get sick and things overcome them, whether it's sadness, whether it's whatever it is. When everything is working so perfectly, right? Hasam v'lech shalom, everything has appropriate boundaries, then a person can live forever. So Brisi Shalom is really the Bris, the covenant of perfect balance. And when you have internal perfect balance on a physiological level, then you have longevity, then you live forever. That's one approach to why what the Targum Yonasan means, that Brisi Shalom is living forever. A second approach is that of the Mesiva Shalom. And he knows in source number 30 in the asterisk, Va'in the Shalom whom Lashon Shlemus. Shalom is from the aspect of Shlemus, wholeness. Shalom ozeh ulema taivos, this world is a world of desire. Umadura klipot, v'im kein ein shum davar shiuchal liyopo b'shlemus, nothing can be whole. Ke'adam en tzadik baretz, asher setov lo yatah, no one's perfect in this world. V'av yudi oved Hashem oseh b'torah v'avdam masim tovim, even a Jew who keeps Torah mitzvot and does acts of kindness, yitachen shebechol davar kishlatzmo yupgamim v'chaser b'em shlemus. In each and every thing, there's going to be things that are going to be missing wholeness. V'rat b'olam shelachar tikun shayach bo shlemus. Only in the next world can you have shlemus. V'abir b'zeh d'chol abriya yesh bo iruv tov v'ra mechamat p'gam eitz hadat. And all of this, my friends, really comes from the sin of eitz hadat. From that original sin, when tov v'ra, good and bad became intermingled, and no situation is completely good, no situation is completely bad, and therefore you have, like even gold and silver has to be purified for its impurities. Everything has to go through a purification process. We go through a purification process. Situations are. Nothing is in the world of perfect until you get, until Mosop Vieta Mashiach, Sha'aji Pareda Tomara. Then there will be clear demarcation between good and evil. The Zehu, next page 31, Inyan HaShalom. That's what Shalom is about. Hashem owes Lama Yitain Hashem Yivarech and Amo B'Shalom. Shalom Hiya Bracha Gdola B'Yoter. Shalom is the biggest bracha. Why? Because Shalom, Shleimus, wholeness, is the Tikkun Abriya. It's the perfection of creation. When you don't have the good and evil intermingling one with the other, but rather it's the Birur HaTov Mara, its ability to take the good from the evil, Shishair HaTov B'Taratov B'Shleimutov, the good stays in its pristine place. We get a taste of that level on Shabbos, right? The bracha we give people on Shabbos is Shabbat Shalom. In fact, in the asterisks, at 31, there's an idea that when you enter into your house on Shabbos, even if no one is there, you say Shabbat Shalom Varach, right? You welcome in the Shabbos, because Shabbos is the Makor HaShalom. Shalom Aleichem, we begin Friday night of the meal, right? We greet the angels with Shalom, with peace. And again, we have a deeper understanding, knowing the place, knowing your boundaries. It's a Shalom, it's a greeting of Shabbos. Why is Shabbos so focused in on Shalom? Because we know that Shabbos is Mein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. So Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. Shabbos has that aspect of Shleimus. Shabbos has that aspect of wholeness. Kesh Shabbat Uinyan, under the end of 31, HaShleimus Mishum Shabbat Hi Mein Olam Haba. It is the taste of the world to come. Ubevchina Shel Achar Tikkun. It's the world after the purification. Ubekoach harat Shabbat haShabbat shiharat shel achar tikun mesugal yudi lemshoch al tzmo shleimus. And because we are able to taste that sense of wholeness, we are able on Shabbos to be able to tap into that shleimus within ourselves, within our family. It's a time of connection. It's a time of wholeness. A time of peacefulness. That's the bracha of Shabbos. That's the bracha of Me'ein Olam Haba. 32. So therefore, the bracha of Pinchas is a bracha of Shalom. What's the bracha of Shalom? It's a bracha of Tikkun. It's a bracha of pure rectification. And therefore, he is divested of being under the sin of the Tree of Knowledge. Mimela, therefore, Yatsa Michal Gzeira Samita, therefore is not under that penalty of death, so to speak, and all the other, lacks that come because of the sin. Already now, kulo shalom. He is already the personification of peace. He's living almost the reality of the future world in this world. Now I appreciate what Pinchas is Eliyahu, who live forever. Where is death? Death comes from the result of eating of the sin, of the fruit of the tree, and that's the negativity in us that has to be purified through being buried in the ground, etc. And this is why Pinchas, this explains that Pinchas is going to be the one who's going to tell about the future redemption. Pinchas is going to be the one who's going to usher in, be the forebearer of the Geula, the final redemption. The final redemption is the Olam HaTikun, the world of redemption. As the Navi says, Chaim Moshe quotes in 33, the one who's going to be Mevaser Tov, the one who's going to tell the good news, is going to be Mashmiya Shalom. It's going to be a person who's going to be able to tell over peace, because he himself is a person of peace. He himself is the one who lives this idea of completeness, of wholeness, of this aspect of the future, and therefore he is the one who's going to usher in this particular era. So why is what the Brisi Shalom, that he's going to be Eliyahu, is going to live forever? On the one hand, Brisi Shalom is that tandem. Everything works in order, and therefore within himself, everything will work in order, all the four elements, and therefore he'll live forever. On the second level, a little bit deeper, is that living, that Pinchas is Eliyahu, means that he has Brisi Shalom. What is Shalom? Shalom is living in the world of Tikkun, Shabbat Shalom, in the world of perfection. That aspect of living in the world of perfection is the world of Pinchas, it's the world of Eliyahu, it's the world of Lasi Lavo, and there is no sin in that, there is no death in that world, it's no sin as well, and therefore he will live forever and usher in that era. Our final idea is based on a very, very long essay of the Shvei Pinchas that we'll just highlight. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, Pinchas is Eliyahu, Hashem said, you establish peace between Yisrael and me and Olam Haza, so too, Lasi Lavo, you will live. You will be the one to establish peace between me and my children, as it says. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu Hanavi before the coming of the great and awesome day of Hashem, and he will turn back the hearts of fathers with their sons and the hearts of sons with their fathers. As reward for self-sacrifice, Pinchas becomes Eliyahu. Just as he brought peace between Hashem and Bnei Israel in this world, he will have the privilege of fulfilling the same function, Lasi Lavo. Hence we see that Eliyahu Hanavi's task to establish peace, Shalom, in the world. This is the fact, is what we have learned in the Medrash, that Eliyahu Hanavi comes neither to distance nor to bring near, but rather to bring Shalom. Eliyahu Hanavi's job, Pinchas' job, who is the Brisi Shalom personification of peace, he is the one who's going to usher in peace before the arrival of Mashiach. We know this is so appropriate as we're entering into the 3 weeks. 36, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because the people were guilty of three cardinal sins, of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichus Damim, idolatry, immorality, and murder. These sins were not prevalent during the time of the second base of Mikdash. The people of that period engaged in Torah study. They performed mitzvot and acts of kindness. It was destroyed because of the Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. This teaches us that Sinas Chinam is equivalent to all three cardinal sins. For this reason, Hashem is destined to send Eliyahu to establish Shalom in the world in preparation for the future Geula. Seeing as the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of the sin of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, the future Geula, the building of the third base of Mikdash, are not feasible until this fatal flaw is corrected. Therefore, it's essential that Eliyahu Hanavi establish peace in the world, correcting the cause of Churban Bayis Sheni. Now we can appreciate, my friends, why we read Pinchas during the time of the 3 weeks of Ben Hametzarim. Pinchas is reminding us, if you want to have Geula, if you want to have redemption, the prerequisite is Brisi Shalom, is to have peace. And this is something for us to do. It should be clear, therefore, that it's incumbent upon us to start working on this tikkun. We must strive to promote and cultivate love, brotherhood, peace, and friendship within our midst, because this is Eliyahu HaNavi's job. Veheshi levavos obanim velebanim alavosam. His job is to create peace among people. So when Eliyahu HaNavi creates peace, he's then able to usher in the ultimate time of peace. We who want the Geula to ready start moving, our job is shalom, our job is peace, our job is to say shalom aleichem to people, and to, live the Pirkas Kohanim, the Yaseim Lecha Shalom, to be able to give peace. Let's just take this idea of Eliyahu HaNavi, Pinchas is Eliyahu, which brings shalom. So just like Pinchas brought shalom in the past, he'll bring shalom in the future. His job is to create this feeling of closeness, and therefore, since he did it once, he's then destined to do it again. If we take this idea of Pinchas as Eliyahu, and he's going to be Mevaser the Gula, let's understand it one step deeper. The Pinchas notes, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Kol ma shebarach kodesh baruch hu ba'olamo lo bara elo l'chvodo. Everything Hashem created in the world, he created for his honor. Shenet matters, it says, call me Krab Shmuel Fodi Baratib Itzartiv Afasitiv. All that's called by my name and that I've made for my glory, I've formed, even made. This teaches us that it's our obligation to utilize all elements of creation without exception in our service of Hashem. Everything that Hashem created is to use for Him. In truth, at first glance, all earthly matters constitute an absolute contradiction to the service of Hashem. Source 39, we see this with our own eyes, how the pursuit of material wealth and the nonsensical attractions that abound in this world distance the person from the service of his Creator, like the distance between East and West. Nevertheless, our blessed sages provided us with a wonderful solution to this problem. We are advised to utilize all earthly matters solely for the sake of Hashem. B'chol drechecha da'ehu. In all your ways, know Him. All pleasure and benefit a person enjoys in this world should not be intended for his own personal pleasure, but rather should be for the purpose of serving the Almighty. This applies to all mundane and optional activities, eating, drinking, walking, etc. So every Jew must establish a form of shalom and harmony between all the elements of creation. He must use them all in order to serve Hashem, thus he fulfills Hashem's will, that everything created was designed to honor Him. Yet, if a Jew only serves Hashem through Torah mitzvot, but does not serve Him through earthly matter, then you're creating a separation and division among the elements of creation. Now we can appreciate the idea of the Yaseim Lecha Shalom. The bracha Birkos Kohanim is a bracha that you should merit establishing shalom between all the various elements of creation, to be able to use all of them to serve Hashem. If that's true, well then how do we use things that we're not allowed to use, not allowed to enjoy? How is that for the service of God? And the answer is quite clear. Hashem's honor, however, is not revealed by consuming them, let's say, machlos asuros, so we can't eat, and utilizing them in service of Hashem, but rather by doing just the opposite. By avoiding them, we respect the will of Hashem, and this manner they serve and honor Hashem. It turns out, therefore, that when we establish Hashem, whose name is Shalom, as king over all creation without exception, we divide the elements of creation into two distinct categories. One are the things that we're allowed to use, and we serve Hashem by using them, l'shem shamayim. And the second category are the things that we're not allowed to use. And we establish shalom throughout all creation when we appreciate that this is, by not using them, it's also serving and showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu will. And it's interesting, he notes that Uksin, which is the last Mishnah, of the Mishnayos, which talks about what you're allowed to eat and not allowed to eat, it ends with Hashem Oz Lamo Yitein, Hashem Yivarech Adam HaShalom, Hashem will bless us with peace. So why does this end all the Mishnayos? Because this is it, even with the things that we're not allowed to do, right? With the things we're allowed to do, of course, that's service of God, but even with the things we're not allowed to do, it's clearly that this is Ritzon Hashem, this is the will of Hashem. And if this is the will of Hashem, that I'm not allowed to do that, by refraining, by saying, Efshiv, Efshiv, Avishav Hashemayim Gazarla, I would love to eat this, but Hashem told me not to, that too is service of Hashem. Now, let's try to put all of this together. My friends, we can appreciate that why Pinchas merited a mida k'neged mida, this incredible reward, hinanino teilo brisi shalom. Hashem's covenant of shalom becoming Eliyahu is destined to bring shalom in the world and herald in the geula at the end of days. In the Medrash, it elucidates the following pasuk: my covenant of life and shalom was with him. Based on what we've learned, Zimri ben Salua, prince of Israel, presented a claim. He intended to unite with Cosme, the daughter of Tzor, the daughter of one of the five kings of Midian, in order to bring her into the congregation of Israel. In this manner, he planned to establish shalom among all the elements of creation, utilizing them to serve Hashem. And there's a lot of Torah on this, that Cosme really did this Hashem Shemayim to be able to take even a non-Jewish woman and elevate the entire world to God. Regarding Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the prophet attests, Torah's emesite tabafiyu, the Torah of truth was in his mouth. Through his kedusha, the Pinchas discerned that Zimri's true intent was to sin. For Cosme Dor of Tzor was not a Jewess. Thus not only would he not succeed in introducing her tumah into the kedusha of Israel, but in addition he would contaminate Israel and cause them to sin, God forbid, which is indeed what happened. Israel sinned with the daughters of Moab and worship the Avodah Zarah, Baal Peor. Therefore, Pinchas acted zealously on the behalf of Hashem and killed Zimri ben Shalu, ultimately reestablishing that covenant of peace between the Jewish people and God. So you have to be careful. Sometimes we fool ourselves. You know, I'm going to do this, whatever, indulge in this thing, because it's really serving God. Is it really serving God? You have to be honest with yourself. It's not just, you know, you have to have MS before you. There has to be truth. There has to be integrity. You have to really ask yourself, you know, I'm going to have a 20-course meal for 10 hours because each course I'm going to have in mind raising the sparks. Are you really? Or are you just sitting there to enjoy yourself? Right? And you're right. It's very hard times sometimes to figure out this line. So now we can appreciate the significance of the reward Hashem bestowed upon Pinchas and how it exemplifies the principle of Mida Keneged Mida, Hinanino Tein Lo Brisi Shalom, that he would merit becoming Eliyahu, who is destined to establish peace, shalom, at the world to the end of days. For Eliyahu HaNavi's task will be to complete the establishment of shalom between all the various elements of creation. He will do so by getting all of the Jews who have strayed away from Hashem and his Torah in Gullus to perform tshuva. He will distance them from all that is prohibited and which cannot be utilized in the service of Hashem. He will encourage them to embrace that which is used for the service of God. He will then create the ultimate shalom, knowing boundaries, what is permitted, what is prohibited, being able to use them accordingly in the appropriate way in the service of God. When Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be the one who has and will in the future be the one to create this shalom. Shalom, not just peace. Shalom, not just boundaries of, you know, setting up, putting in the breaches, filling in the breaches, but shalom on the deepest level of making sure that Klal Yisrael are utilizing what we're supposed to in this world to serve God and staying away what we're not, from what we're supposed to stay away from, and that's also service of God, knowing our exact place, that is shalom. Since that was Eliyahu's job, where he said, Zimri, you think you're doing this for the service of God? You're not. He was able to make sure, let's have that clear, what is and what is not, what we're fooling ourselves. Since he had that in the past, Hashem gives him the brisi, shalom, mida, k'neged mida, measure for measure, and he is therefore the one most appropriate in the future to create these lines of demarcation, all for the purpose of bringing Klal Yisrael back closer to Hashem, which will be the ultimate tikkun and the ultimate rectification with the times of Mashiach. So just to summarize the second level and end with the story. That why is Eliyahu talking to your son, Brisi, Shalom, you'll live forever? The Sforno, that all the elements within him are able to work in tandem, he'll live forever. The Nesiva Shalom, that he was able to live in a world of Shalom, which is the world of Tikkun, the world of purification, the world of the future, the world of Shabbos, which is a world which is not under the sin, the curse of Eitz Hadad, and therefore, obviously, he will live forever. On the third level, the Brisi Shalom, his whole essence is about setting up the correct parameters, bringing peace among people, bringing boundaries where people know how to serve Hashem, what to do, what not to do. When you have everything in tandem, you therefore have that brisi shalom, that ability to have done so in the past. I will give you the ability to do so in the future as well. You will live forever, and you will be the ones who are going to be able to tell people, this was correct, this is not correct. This is what you need to do, this is what you not to do, and then we are going to usher in a world where the entire world will know God, and the entire world will serve God appropriately. Just like to end with a personal story. We've spoken here about a lot about that Hashem rewards midah keneged midah, measure for measure, and that there is, in tandem, in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we act in a certain way, and Hashem responds in a certain way. So, just to share a personal story. A year ago, almost a year ago, last June, I was going through certain challenges. We all go through certain challenges with our older daughter. She was in America, in Israel, in America, in Israel, a little bit of a yo-yo. And, you know, it's like a square peg in a round hole. And we all have people we know like that. To find your place is a little bit challenging. So we went through a lot of different challenges trying to either make the round hole square or her round, and neither was working too well. So as we were, you know, a lot of different pieces, we sent her back to America. And around last June, I said to myself, you know, any greater help than I can deal with down here. I often turn to God, I say, you know, you're the third partner, you got to pull weight, you know, I need help. So I said to myself, you know, I need to find a stucco project to do in her schus, that it should be a schus for her, that she should, Mirz Hashem, find a chassan and settle down and find herself. You know, I had these, like, nightmares. I get called, woofing for shidduch phone calls, and I'm listening to these boys' mothers asking about girls, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way any mother-in-law will take my child, you know, with, you know, not fitting in the typical box. So, as I was thinking this, I came across a magazine which was offering, asking for help. Someone wanted to publish a kuntres, a small book on Birkus Kohanim, that Rav Steinman Zatzal said if he had the money, he would publish. It was, it's written about what the Kohanim should think about, the people should think about. Very small, very sweet. Rav Chaim endorsed this. I said, well, if Rav Steinman, Rav Chaim think that this is a good sefer, you know, you can't be gedolim. So I called up the person, B'nai Brak. I said, how much do you need? He gave me a figure. I said, count us in to be the sponsoring this. We'll pay for the publication. I said, I wanted to have it in mind for two things. It should be a schus for two things. One is my daughter should find a shidduch and settle down. And the second is an incredible family that should be benched, a Mev Esri with a lot of Shefa Bracha, literally took her in as one of theirs, so to speak. And they had a child who was married for 4 years. They're a family with a lot of girls. Their second had girls, and the older daughter was married for a number of years without children. I said, let it be a schus for this couple to have a child. So that was what I had in mind when I made this donation. So that was last June. The Sefer came out around Pesach time. He published 1,000 copies. He told us that within 1 week, he had only 5 left. It went like hotcakes. In fact, we don't even have a copy. Working on a second printing now. I gave our copy to this family that who I wanted it to be a schus for. So that was last year. And again, Birkas Kohanim, I had it mine. Yivarech Hashem Yishvarech, Hashem should bless you, right? V'yasem l'cha shalom, shleimus, wholeness, all this I had in mind, that would be a perfect bracha. Well, my friends, last Wednesday, a week ago Wednesday, this young couple, 5 years married, had a little boy, which was a tremendous sipcha. And again, with all the girls in that immediate family, a boy, a little prince, is the biggest sipcha. And I felt like, wow, like, you know, you give stucca, has tremendous chus, and Kashbarku was nana to our tefillos, and this family, after 5 years, had a little boy. So that was on Wednesday. On Monday, our daughter, B'chasdei Hashem, became a kala. And I saw that within 1 week, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the tefillos, and there was no resume involved. It was Chasdei Hashem 2 weeks, a shidduch min haShemayim, and the clincher is the first name of the little boy and the first name of the chassan is the same name, Yaakov. my friends, we should continue to share smachot together. Rabbi Yosef Goel, b'nei Rabbi Yamina.